This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. Most K through 12 schools will begin classes next week. Some will be all online, like Ann Arbor. Some with a mix of online and in-person instruction, like the Ypsilanti Community Schools. We are still without approved state or federal budgets, and the pandemic continues to hit the state and the country in all manners, including education, public health, and the economy. Debbie Dingell is 12th District Congressional Representative, which includes portions of Washtenaw County. And today, the Dearborn Democrat joins us from her home. And thank you so much for the time.
Good morning, and it's great to be with you. Happy Friday.
I know it's a holiday weekend, but given the lack of a budget and coronavirus relief package, I think most Americans believe that every member of Congress should probably be in Washington getting these things worked out. Do you agree?
I do. I actually went back this week and was House Pro Tem for the week. I'm one of those people that think we need to be at the table. I'm out now. I'm talking to people carefully, masked and distant. They're scared. They think we need to be doing something about unemployment. They're worried about being evicted because they can't pay their rent or their mortgage. A lot of parents are worried about food, and a lot of seniors and veterans are worried. It's everywhere. We need to get another bill done.
And these problems will be further exacerbated should we hit the start of a new fiscal year October 1st without a new budget in place. Should we get to that point, there is a possibility of a government shutdown. Do you think it more likely that Congress is going to come up with a temporary budget to put in place while a full budget is worked out?
I think it would be a total disaster to shut the government down. We see what happens when you've done that before. A lot of this is going to depend on the President of the United States and what he's willing to sign and what he's not willing to sign. I can't even imagine the United States Senate, which there are days that I get very frustrated because they have not gone along with getting another bill to help on COVID, agreeing to it. But we cannot let the government shut down. We do not need that drama in this country right now in the middle of a COVID pandemic.
All of the schools in Michigan are operating somewhat blind at this point. We know that COVID-19 has resulted in significantly increased expenditures for school districts, but what level of help they can expect from the state and federal sources remains unclear. You spent part of this week visiting schools in your district, passing out meals and Chromebooks to help kids in need meet their technological demands of remote learning. What are schools officials telling you about the funding crisis when you visit?
You know, first of all, I want to say something. I've dealt with a lot of scared people, a lot of angry people, a lot of very intense feelings since this all started about 6 months ago. I was at schools for 2 days. The people that I met, the teachers, the faculty, the staff, they've got challenges, but they have a can-do attitude. They're going to figure it out. I've never seen people. I mean, we know they're there. The teachers are our heroes, the frontliners. But they're taking a situation they didn't ask for. They've got kids who are scared, parents who are scared and frustrated. You've got faculty that have to do child care and have pre-existing conditions, and they're figuring it out. You know, we had long discussions about broadband access and Internet access and how do you pay for it in creative ways. I talked to the FCC commissioner, Carr, who was in yesterday for something else, about what we can do to help them. Different districts are handling this differently. Some district, Belleville, gives every one of its students a Chrome. But in other cities and townships that aren't as lucky to have as strong a budget, they're giving it to those who can't afford it, and they can't get new ones because COVID has created a run on or an increase in demand, and so the supplies aren't there. But I'll tell you, the attitude, the wonderful people that I saw this week who just want to take care of their students just reinforced what I know is the best in America.
Well, you called teachers heroes, and I agree. And I think there's a lot of parents who may have missed that before, but now with remote learning have realized just how heroic the teachers' efforts are. How are we ultimately, beyond this pandemic, going to get these teachers more fair pay?
Well, we got to hopefully, you know what I'm hoping? I'm hoping this whole COVID pandemic has shined a light on a lot of things. But, you know, we need to get our teachers more paid. They're the most important. They're molding and shaping our children. Yet we don't give them enough. But we also look at the glue of our civilized society. When we were all in total pandemic and panics in March and April, the people that kept us together, those frontline workers in grocery stores and driving buses and the nursing aides and the caretakers, most people didn't think they were worth paying $15 an hour. We need to do something about that. We need to reevaluate what the worth is of jobs.
Our conversation with 12th District Congresswoman Debbie Dingell continues on 89.1 WEMU, and I do want to shift for a moment. On Monday of this week, after years of confidential negotiations, finally, we got a peek at a newly amended consent judgment agreement regarding the Gelman 1,4-dioxane plume. It was a partial release of information, as the agreement allows for Danaher, the current owner of the Gelman facility, to keep much of the information regarding negotiations under wraps. The amended agreement is certainly an improvement, but there remains a lack of transparency, and the agreement still means this is an issue the community will have to deal with for decades to come. What was your impression?
So I've been talking to a lot of people. It's for the communities that the Gelman plume's in to decide. There will be a public hearing on the 14th. I hope people are taking the time to educate themselves and to participate. It's being hosted by Eagle. I hope people will take the time. And quite frankly, I want to know what communities think. Because you're very right in what you just said. We don't know everything still, although it is more public than it has been. And it is going to take decades. And what happens in the end? What happens to the plume? So I'm letting the communities take the direction. They each have to vote on it, all of the parties. There are groups that I do think have worked hard to clean up the water that are part of this. I've asked the Attorney General to help give me some advice, and Liesl, who's the head of Eagle, and I want to know what people think. So, David, as they're listening to this, I want to hear from them.
Why is it that transparency is seemingly so difficult to come by today when we talk government, industry, and politics?
I don't know. I believe in total transparency. What you see about me is always transparent. Everything I do, you know, all my financial holdings, all of that is public, and I think that people have a right to know about what has happened there, what is in that plume. And, you know, I think that transparency allows people to judge how they think about things, and I think transparency is the most important thing we need to have in conducting a business. Now, for national security reasons, or there may be for those reasons, but in the conducting a business and how it impacts our community, we should have 100% transparency.
That is the voice of 12th District Congresswoman Debbie Dingell, and you're listening to 89.1 WEMU. And while we're on the subject of the environment, there is talk the Federal Environmental Protection Agency's Ann Arbor office may soon reopen. You've co-authored a letter with Michigan Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib expressing concerns about that and other reopenings of offices with EPA Director Andrew Wheeler. What exactly are your concerns?
Well, the employees have come to me, and Rashida and I frequently do these things together, as you know. And they're scared to go back to work. They're not sure that the air circulation in that building, and we know from what we've been hearing from the scientists that being indoors is far higher risk. People are going to have to wear their masks, but what's the air filtration system? And these men and women are getting their jobs done, like many of us are, virtually. So what is the rush to put them back inside an office that may be a danger to their health?
So you've posed the question, what is the rush? Have you received a response from Director Wheeler?
Nope. It always takes a while for me to get answers from EPA. At the top, the men and women who work to keep us all safe at this local level are incredible people, and I really want to say that.
Earlier this week, the Trump administration rolled back an Obama-era rule limiting toxic wastewater from coal treatment plants. Since he took office, well over 100 environmental rules and regulations have been rescinded or scaled back. The U.S. is withdrawn from the Paris Climate Accord, and many of the most respected employees of the EPA have left their jobs, either in protest, disgust, or both. Can we even define the EPA's role in preserving and improving our environmental health at this point?
I think EPA's role is to try to destroy years and decades of environmental progress that have been made. I look to the NEPA, the first bill, and I obviously have some pride in it, that it was the very first major environmental bill written in this country that John Dingell wrote after the Rouge River caught on fire. He's rolled that back. He's rolled the Endangered Species Act. As you just said, you know, everything from methane to CAFE standards. And we need to be very worried about global climate change, but progress that we've made. I mean, when we looked at the waters that we all live on, the Detroit River was so dirty that we couldn't eat the fish. Rouge River was so dirty it caught on fire. We're going back. We're going totally back. We have an increase in asthma among our young children as we're starting to see more pollutants in the air. We have PFAS in other, in our soil and our ground and our earth. We need to, we've got Lake Elgi. I mean, I could go on. We are going backwards at a time that we are seeing glaciers melt. You've seen the wildfires. You've seen the hurricanes. That's because of what's happening with the environment. And we need to fight back. I hope everybody thinks about that this November.
And, of course, you're referring to the November general election, which could determine a lot about how policy is and will be moving forward. Thank you so much for the time today. I do appreciate it, and we'll check again with you next Friday.
David, thank you. Have a good Labor Day weekend.
You too. That is 12th District U.S. Representative Debbie Dingell. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti, celebrating 55 years of broadcasting to Washtenaw County and beyond.